Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What's going on, AEW sickos? Tanner Lee here, the Kicking Out Podcast. Excited to bring you a video I've been working on for a little bit, a video I've wanted to do for quite a while. Just finally found some time to sit down, do some research, type out my thoughts, get everything ready, and give you what I think is going to be a fun video in which I'm going to list the worst to best AEW pay-per-views since the inaugural AEW pay-per-view Double or Nothing in 2019. That's right. I'm going to go through every single AEW pay-per-view excluding Fight for the Fallen and Fighter Fest in 2019, which online was counting that as a pay-per-view. So not counting those, we've had 44 pay-per-views from Double or Nothing 2019 up till now, which I'm recording this day, a few days before AEW Double or Nothing 2026 coming up this weekend from Louis Armstrong Stadium in Queens, New York. Should be a fantastic show. Hard to believe it's the 8th edition of Double or Nothing. We've had so many great moments, memories, matches that we've watched over the years on AEW pay-per-views. And I think no matter all the critics out there, that I'm not one of them, of course, I'm a diehard AEW fan, and I'm a fan that thinks their product's really good right now. But there's a lot of criticism out there how AEW doesn't produce good weekly television. But even those critics, the one thing good they will say about AEW is AEW pay-per-views more times than not deliver. And you know, I hated to rank some of these towards the bottom of my list, towards that number 44, because really, I could find something in all 44 of these pay-per-views I really enjoyed. Just some I enjoyed more than others. And once again, this is my list. This is just my opinion. Put your rankings and your opinions in the comments below. Love to hear from you. See where we agree, where we disagree. Get some conversations, some engagement going, shall we? But without further ado, let's hit on in what I think is the worst pay-per-view AEW's ever put on in my number 44 slot. And that is no surprise here that it is one of the pay-per-views in the Daily's Place era, the pandemic era of AEW, if you will. And this is one just right away when people ask me, what do you think is the worst AEW pay-per-view they've ever put on? This one's always popped number one in my head, so that's why it's number 44 for me. And that is AEW All Out 2020, which took place on September 5th, 2020 in Daly's Place, Jacksonville, Florida. Main event was Jon Moxley defeating MJF to retain his world title. And if you remember correctly, MJF in 2020 was calling Jon Moxley Dictator John and was saying, we deserve better, he's not my champion, that sort of thing. This was MJF's first time challenging for the AEW world title, which is kind of ironic going into this weekend's Double or Nothing that he'll be challenging Darby Allin and trying to become a three-time AEW world champion. But he was unsuccessful. Moxley successfully defended it. This card did have some good spots. FTR defeated Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page, in which was the start of Kenny and Omega's split there. Really good match. But also it had some quirky moments. We saw Orange Cassidy defeat Jericho in a mimosa match, in which Orange Cassidy threw Jericho off the turnbuckle into a vat of mimosa. something that could only have been done in, you know, the empty arena era. We saw Big Swole, remember that name, defeat Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, in a dentist chair match. I'm going to call it a dentist chair match because they fall all around Britt's dentist office, and including a spot right in the dental chair. And then this is a big reason why this one is last place for me. Matt Hardy defeated Sammy Guevara via knockout, but you could easily tell Matt Hardy was concussed. He got concussed during the match in a spot where he fell, missed the table, hit his head on the concrete. That match should have been called off then and there. It just kind of took the air out. I remember watching it live, and it kind of took the air out of my sails after that match for the rest of the pay-per-view, and I just couldn't really get back into it like I was before. So that was a big reason why that's number 44 for me on my list, and I think the worst pay-per-view AEW's put on to date. Moving down to number 43, and a lot of these early on, I will, spoiler alert, say, are during the Daily's Place era, the pandemic era, but this one is not. This one's an event that took place back when we were in full crowds, an event that took place in 2023 on December 30th, 2023, to be exact, from the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Uniondale, New York, and that is AEW World's End 2023. 2023 was kind of a hectic year for AEW. A lot of turmoil and conflict and drama and gossip, if you will, going on backstage. The introduction of Collision happened in 2023. The firing of CM Punk happened in 2023. But 2023 also ran their biggest event to date in the first AEW All In London. From Wembley Stadium, which we'll talk about later on my list. But this pay-per-view was just clunky for me and kind of put a bow on a very clunky year, in my opinion, that was 2023 for AEW. The main event saw Samoa Joe defeat MJF to become the new world champion. And that was kind of supposed to kind of start or put a wrap on the whole devil storyline with MJF, which the devil revealed himself as an injured Adam Cole. You know, throughout 2023, we saw the better than you baby Adam Cole and MJF partnership develop, and MJF let his guard down, become friends. Well, Adam Cole was the one pulling the strings behind the scenes and betraying MJF in the end and forming the kingdom, which didn't last very long. Adam Cole, Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, Wardlow, Roderick Strong, some of those guys are still with the company. So that was the main event. We saw Cope defeat Christian, become the TNT champion, only to get defeated then by Killswitch in like 12 seconds. And then Killswitch gave the title back to Christian Cage. That was a whole weird thing going on there. Keith Lee was pulled from his match with Swerve Strickland, to which we have still not seen Keith Lee to date since around the time of World's End 2023. Dustin Rhodes replaced Keith Lee in that match. And there was just some weird tag matches going on. You had Brian Danielson, Claudio Castagnoli, Daniel Garcia of the Blackpool Combat Club at the time they're known as, and Mark Briscoe defeating Brody King, Jay Lethal, Jay White, and Roosh. And then you also had Chris Jericho, Sting, and Darby Allin, and Sammy Guevara defeating Big Bill, Ricky Stark, Kinoshita Takeshita, and Powerhouse Hobbs. So I don't know, nothing really stuck out to me as a very good pay-per-view there. So that's why it's number 43 on my list. Moving on to number 42, another Daily's Place era event. And really, this event is just here just because of how it ended. And that event is AEW Revolution 2021, which took place on March 7th, 2021. The main event was one we've talked about in length on the Kicking Out podcast since we started the Kicking Out podcast in January 2021. We've talked about this match quite often, and I'm kind of sick about talking about it, and I hate thinking about it because it was just such a – I just remember going to bed that night thinking, oh, man, like, How did they blunder that? And that was the main event of Jon Moxley challenging Kenny Omega for Kenny Omega's AEW world title in an exploding barbed wire death match, in which the match was fine itself. But then afterwards, you know, Eddie Kingston comes down and he's trying to, we're going to see a heel, his face turn turning from a heel to a face, trying to save his buddy, John Moxley, which he had a lot of history with. He covers Mox up. We're supposed to get this huge culmination of an explosion, and pretty much sparklers went off. It was like a wah-wah type thing. And just ruined the event for me. So that's why it's at number 42, just from how it ended. The reason it's not at 43 or 44 was there were some really good matches aside from that that I really enjoyed. Scorpio Sky defeated Cody Rhodes, Lance Archer, Penta, Max Caster, and Ethan Page in a Golden Ring match. I think the Brass Ring, I think they called it, actually, to which he would get a number one contender shot at the world title. Then we saw Darby Allin and Sting defeat Brian Cage and Ricky Starks in Sting's first match within AEW, even though it was a cinematic match, which was very popular in the pandemic era between AEW and especially WWE, lost some cinematic matches, but Sting proved he could still go, and that led on to what was a fabulous last run in his career in AEW for him. So, overall, AEW Revolution 2021, number 42 spot on my list, which Revolution is pretty strong for me in these rankings. You can make a case overall that it's the best event AEW does year in, year out. Number 41, another, like I said, Daily's Place era, pandemic era match or event, excuse me, Full Gear 2020, which took place on November 7th, 2020. A lot of AEW fans have this as their favorite or their best Daily's Place era pay-per-view. There's a reason I have it behind another one. I'll get to that coming up soon. Main event here was John Moxley over Eddie Kingston in an I Quit match. Eddie Kingston was still pretty fairly new to the company and threw him right into a storyline with John Moxley for the main event here because he and Moxley have a lot of history together. Overall, pretty good match. Darby Allin won his first TNT title over Cody Rhodes. Saw the Young Bucks defeat FTR in a dream match, which we've seen many times now, but they keep getting better and better. Matt Hardy defeated Sammy Guevara in an Elite Deletion match, kind of trying to put a bow on it from their rivalry from that clunky, disastrous match at All Out 2020 that I already covered that should have been called off halfway through the match. And MJF defeated Jericho. This is when MJF was starting to try to join the inner circle. Yeah, just a few highlights there for my number 41 event. Moving on to number 40, this is the top Daily's Place era pay-per-view, in my opinion, that AEW put on. That was Double or Nothing 2020, the first Daily's Place era pay-per-view they put on, taking place on May 23rd, 2020. And that was because Stadium Stampede. Yeah, we're getting a Stadium Stampede match this weekend in Double or Nothing 2026. Going on, which should be a lot of fun, 7-on-7 one. But this one was the inaugural one. It was the Elite with Matt Hardy, I should say. So Matt Hardy, Kenny Omega, Hangman, and the Bucks versus the Inner Circle, Ortiz, Santana, Jake Hager, Sam Guevara, and Chris Jericho. Just, you know, how they – I just remember the world being such a dark place at this time, and this match just brought a big smile to my face. It was creative. It was cool to see the talents get creative with this. A fight all around Daily's Place backstage, use the football field. A lot of great moments there with Hangman riding down on the horse. Matt Jackson doing a suplex across the whole football field. Yeah, challenge flags, penalty flags, replay, just a lot of fun stuff. And then, of course, Kenny hitting Sammy Guevara with one winged angel from up top of the stadium down low. Was a really cool way to end it with fireworks going off and the Elite standing there in the end zone. Really cool. Cody Rhodes defeated Lance Archer in the finals to become the finals of the TNT tournament to become the first ever TNT champion. Mike Tyson was in attendance there to hand over the title to Cody. And if you remember right, that was the title that was unfinished, the silver and red TNT title. John Moxley defeated the late, great Brody Lee in Brody's, what sadly was his only attempt at challenging for the world title. So if we're talking Daily's Place, I think that event was pretty good, but still, it's not one I want to go back and watch. The whole pandemic era wrestling, granted, AEW did as well of a job as they could and had, you know, a few fans in the crowd, as many as they could, and talents helping out ringside. It was a lot better than WWE's Thunderdome, but it's still just very hard to watch 6 years later. Number 39 on my list, we go to 2023, November 18th, 2023, for Full Gear 2023, which was from the Kia Forum in Inglewood, California. The main event was a pretty forgettable one for me. It was MJF successfully defending his AEW World title over Jay White. Hell of a match between Swerve and Hangman in a Texas Death, in which Swerve got the better of Hangman in that one. But that started just a fantastic rivalry between those two guys, or kept the rivalry going, I should say, between those two guys that we saw kick off the month before at WrestleDream. And then you remember Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega being a tag team? Well, it was a brief tag team due to Kenny Omega coming down with diverticulitis. They were known as the Golden Jets, and they defeated the Young Bucks. So they were on route to a challenge for the tag team titles, but then Kenny got sick and that never happened. So that is the number 39 event on my list. Number 38, I just kind of mentioned it. It was AEW WrestleDream 2023. It was the inaugural WrestleDream. Because if you remember right, AEW in 2019, 2020, 2021 was just four pay-per-views. They had the big four from 2019 through 2021 of just, well, 2019 was just three, actually, in Double or Nothing, All Out, then Full Gear, then 2020 Revolution came in the mix. Those four were 2020, 2021. Then they had a Forbidden Door in 2022, and then All In, WrestleDream, and World's End in 23, and then Dynasty in 24. And now they're going to be adding a new one. It hasn't been officially announced yet, but it looks like Redemption will be running inaugurally this year in July from Montreal. That's the rumor on the street, at least. So, but in the first, where I was going with this, in the first installment of WrestleDream 2023 that took place on October 1st, 2023, from the Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, that is the number 38 spot on my list. The main event saw Christian Cage defeat Darby Allin 2 out of 3 falls to retain his TNT championship. But the big takeaway was after the match, Adam Copeland, formerly known as Edge, made his AEW debut and made his intentions known that he was coming after Christian. We also saw MJF defeat The Righteous in a 2-on-1 ROH tag team title match, because Adam Cole's on the shelf, like I mentioned earlier in the video. They, throughout 2023, they had a partnership there. Swerve defeated Hangman, so that's where that rivalry started, that we still know as one of AEW's best rivalries to date. And we saw a dream match of Bryan Danielson beating Zack Sabre Jr., which was a lot of fun. Moving down on my list, number 37, AEW Double or Nothing, also 2023, took place on May 28, 2023, from the T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada. The main event was an Anarchy in the Arena match, which is the Stadium Stampede, but just in an arena form. The Blackpool Combat Club defeated the Elite in that match. Also saw MJF defend his world title against the Four Pillars in AEW, Jack Perry, Sammy Guevara, and Darby Allin. Chris Statlander defeated Jade Cargill. Actually, Jade Cargill successfully defended her TBS title, and then Statlander, I think it was she cashed in or something, I believe, or turned in a number one contenders sort of slip or something, and defeated Jade to dethrone her for the TBS title, in which was Jade Cargill's last match in AEW and her only defeat. The House of Black won the trios over the Acclaimed. FTR defeated Jay Lethal and Double J Jeff Jarrett when Jeff Jarrett was getting a lot of TV run there in AEW, and Adam Cole defeated Chris Jericho. Moving on to number 36, my first installment of Forbidden Door on my list, and this one was Forbidden Door 2024, which took place on June 30th, 2024, from the UBS Arena in Elmont, New York. The main event was awesome. I love the main event of this. I got to be honest, I'm not a huge Forbidden Door fan because I don't follow New Japan very closely. But I enjoyed this main event, which saw Swerve successfully defend his world title against Will Ospreay. Just a fun match. Two of my favorites, had me on the edge of my seat the whole time. We saw Naito defeat Jon Moxley for the New Japan world title. We saw Mercedes defeat Stephanie Vaquer, in which Stephanie Vaquer became on WWE's radar after this. And when Tony Khan thought she'd be AEW bound, she went to WWE, where we see her now on Monday nights on Raw. Number 35, All Out 2022, which took place on September 4th, 2022, from the Now Arena in the Hoffman Estates, Illinois. The only reason was because nobody thinks about this event aside from what happened afterwards in Brawl Out. The altercation and the brawl backstage between CM Punk and the Elite, Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega, as well as CM Punk's friend Ace Steel, in which led to suspensions of the Elite and CM Punk, but CM Punk was also injured and going to be taking time off anyways. And CM Punk's relationship with AEW was never the same after that night. Did good business for Minnie's Bakery, though. And we saw in the main event CM Punk win the world title over Jon Moxley, because if you remember correctly, Jon Moxley squashed CM Punk a few Dynamites before that to win the world title. And then MJF came back, because we saw MJF win the casino ladder match, or somebody won it in place for MJF, and he took the devil mask off. He came out. We were supposed to get another installment of that great rivalry of CM Punk and MJF, but of course, for many reasons, we never got that. And everything after this pay-per-view just overshadowed Max's return, which he had been gone from the company since after Double or Nothing earlier that summer. And the Elite, we just spoke a lot about the Elite. They defeated Hangman and the Dark Order in a trios match, which gave them the inaugural AEW trios titles. Number 34, AEW Wrestle Dream 2025. So last year's edition, which took place on October 18th, 2025 from the Chavez Arena in St. Louis, Missouri. Darby Allin defeated Jon Moxley in an I Quit match in the main event. This was at this spot because, I mean, it was just my bad luck, and it was on Amazon Prime. I ordered this pay-per-view through Amazon Prime, and I missed most of the main event because of Prime pausing and cutting out early, and it just tons of connection issues. This pay-per-view also saw Hangman defeat Samoa Joe, successfully defend his title against Samoa Joe. And at the time, it was a babyface match. Brodito defeated Okada and Takeshita in a fun tag match. And Chris Statlander successfully defended her AEW Women's World title over Toni Storm in a one-on-one bout. Number 33 on my list, we're going to also last year, AEW Full Gear of 2025, which took place on November 22nd from the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. Saw Samoa Joe, then heel Samoa Joe, defeat Hangman Adam Page to win the AEW World title in a steel cage match, which saw Hook get involved and turn on Hangman and become part of the ops. It was a really weird storyline and still a weird fit, if you ask me, to this day. Saw Chris Statlander defeat Mercedes Moné to successfully defend her world title. Josh Alexander and the Young Bucks defeated Kenny Omega and Luchasaurus and Jungle Jack Perry, the Jurassic Express, in the $1 million match. Saw Mark Briscoe defeat Kyle Fletcher to win the TNT title, in which if Mark Briscoe would have lost this match, he would have had to join the Don Callis family. Kyle O'Reilly made Jon Moxley tap out, and FTR defeated Brodito to become the World Tag Team Champions, which they are currently heading into this weekend's Double or Nothing, which they'll be going against Adam Copeland and Christian Cage in a New York Street Fight I Quit match, in which Cope and Christian, if they lose, can never team again. Number 32, All Out 2019. Yes, this one kind of pained me to put it down this low, because I have a lot of good memories of this event. This was AEW's second event they ever ran. This was before Dynamite became a regular weekly television, because it would debut in October of 2019. So this was the second event after Double or Nothing 2019. This was took place on August 31st, 2019, from the Sears Center Arena, Hoffman States, Illinois, and saw Jericho defeat Hangman Adam Page in the main event to become the inaugural first AEW Men's World Champion. And afterwards, backstage, we got the little bit of the bubbly line from him. Really good stuff with the main event. But I think this is more to praise a lot of the other pay-per-views that have come since this one. That's why this one is in the number 32 spot for me. Cody Rhodes defeated Sean Spears. Remember that rivalry? Ironically, Cody was part of AEW for 3 all-out pay-per-views, and this was the only one he had a match on the card of. Pac defeated Kenny Omega in a huge win in Pac's early career for AEW. And the Lucha Bros defeated the Bucks in a Escalar de la Muerte ladder match for the AAA tag titles. So back before AAA and WWE had a partnership, or before WWE bought AAA, I should say. I remember that was just being a really fun match, which you had to hold your breath for a bunch of high spots there. Number 31, AEW Dynasty from last year, 2025, from the Corus Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, April 6, 2025, it took place. John Moxley defeated Swerve. And this one, thanks to the help from the Young Bucks, returning after being off AEW for a little while and hitting Swerve with a EVP trigger, I think they were calling it at the time. Kenny Omega defeated Speedball Mike Bailey and Ricochet in a really fun match to defend his international championship. Adam Cole defeated Daniel Garcia to become the new TNT champion. I remember thinking he didn't get a very good pop for that and deserved a lot better. Bandido defeated Chris Jericho to win the ROH world title, which he still holds to this day, in a title versus mask match. And Tony Storm defeated Megan Bain, in which I remember I was saying they should put the strap on Megan Bain and put a rocket ship to her back, but that wasn't the case. Number 30, Double or Nothing 2022, May 29th, 2022, from the T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada. The main event saw CM Punk defeat Hangman Adam Page to win the AEW World title. Really cool moment at the time. Punk was really emotional, really felt like he was going to be the guy to have the Summer of Punk and kick it in the full gear, no pun intended, for AEW. But, of course, he would get injured the following Dynamite, jumping into the crowd, celebrating, coming down the aisle, breaking his foot, and then he'd be off TV until around All Out time. So that didn't happen. Really, why I just remember this being a really long pay-per-view. Kenny Omega, line there. Adam Cole and Britt Baker both won the Owen Hart Cup. The Hardys defeated the Young Bucks in a dream match there for AEW dream match. They had, of course, faced each other in ROH before. And Wardlow defeated MJF to kick off the show in a match that a lot of people didn't even know if was going to happen due to MJF's contract negotiations. Number 29 on the list. Number 29 on the list takes us to 2024. Full Gear 2024, November 23rd, 2024, from the Prudential Center, Newark, New Jersey, saw John Moxley successfully defend his world title against Orange Cassidy in the main event. Bobby Lashley defeated Swerve in a one-on-one match that looked like it was going to go places and turn into a rivalry, but didn't for whatever reason. Maybe some backstage stuff going on, not sure. Daniel Garcia defeated Jack Perry to become the new TNT champion. And Mercedes Moné defeated Chris Statlander in the TBS championship match. No women's title match on the card, which was interesting to note. Number 28 on the list, WrestleDream 2024. Took place on October 12th, 2024, from the Tacoma Dome in Tacoma, Washington. The main event had a very surprise ending. John Moxley defeating Bryan Danielson to win the AEW World title, but then putting the bag over Danielson's head. This is Danielson's last match in AEW to date. Mark Briscoe defeated Chris Jericho for ROH World title. The Young Bucks over Private Party to win the tag titles, and Takeshita over Ricochet and Ospreay to win the international title in the match of the night for me there. Number 27 on my list takes us back to World's End, this time in 2024. December 28, 2024, from the Edition Financial Arena in Orlando, Florida. The main event saw Jon Moxley successfully defend his AEW World title over Hangman Adam Page, Switchblade Jay White, and Orange Cassidy. One takeaway for me from this event was all the scuttlebutt and the rumors of Shane McMahon, possibly appearing at the end of the show to reveal himself as the ultimate leader of the Death Riders. No Shane O'Mac. He never appeared. To date, has not appeared in AEW. Don't think he ever will. Okada defeated Ospreay in the finals of the Continental Classic to win the Continental title. That was a banger of a match, as you would expect. Mariah May successfully defended her title, Women's World title, against Thunder Rosa. And MJF defeated Adam Cole in a Dynamite Diamond Ring match. So they decided to continue that rivalry late in 24, which I think they should have just wrapped the bow on it in Double or Nothing 24 when MJF came back and planted Adam Cole on his head. Number 26 on my list, Full Gear 2022, November 19th, 2022, from the Prudential Center, Newark, New Jersey, saw MJF win the world title over Jon Moxley in the main event. This was the first pay-per-view after Brawl Out, so CM Punk was not part of this pay-per-view. The Acclaimed beat Swerve in Our Glory, which is Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland as a tag team. Samoa Joe went over Wardlow and Powerhouse Hobbs in a TNT title match. Jericho was successfully defended his ROH world title in a four-way match, interesting match, over Brian Danielson, Sammy Guevara, and Claudio Castagnoli. And Jack Perry defeated Luchasaurus in a steel cage match, which was a really good match. Number 25 on my list, Double or Nothing 2024, which took place on May 26, 2024, from the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Paradise, Nevada. This is the last Double or Nothing to date that they've ran in Nevada after running them in 2019, 2022, 23, and 24. Last year's was in the Glendale, Arizona, and this year's, like I said, is going to be in Queens, New York. The Elite defeated FTR, Brian Danielson, and Darby Allin in an Anarchy in the Arena match in the main event. If you remember correctly, Jack Perry got the pin on Darby Allin to win this match for the Elite. This one, the Elite were heels. And Darby Allin, this is where he brought the flamethrower out and set Jack Perry on fire. We also saw Swerve Strickland successfully defend his world title against Christian Cage. Mercedes Moné defeated Willow Nightingale, the TBS title match. Adam Copeland defeated Malakai Black in a steel cage match to defend his TNT title, in which Adam Copeland would break his leg when he did a spot from off the top of the cage down to clothesline Malakai. And in a match which we saw Gangrel make an appearance in AEW. And Will Ospreay defeated Roderick Strong to win the international title. Number 24, All Out of last year, 2025. September 20th, 2025, from Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Hangman defeated Kyle Fletcher in the main event. Kyle Fletcher was also holding the TNT title at the time, but it was a heck of a match, and Fletcher showed in that match that he can hang with the big dogs. Brodito won a four-way ladder match, which was a lot of fun. Jon Moxley defeated Darby Allin in a coffin match, thanks to a returning PAX help. Mark Briscoe defeated MJF in a tables and tax match, which took MJF off of television until around World's End time, which we'd see him return and win the world title. Cope and Cage defeated FTR, in which we're still seeing that feud go on to this day, going into Double or Nothing 2026. And Chris Statlander won a four-way match to win the AEW Women's World title in a match that champion Tony Storm did not get pinned. Number 23, kicking it back to the first Full Gear 2019, took place on November 9th, 2019, Royal Farms Arena in Baltimore, Maryland. The main event was Jon Moxley defeating Kenny Omega in a lights-out match. A really fun match. Saw the ring apron. get tore up, saw a bunch of barbed wire used, whole bunch of things. Just a very fun match that introduced the fans to what they could probably expect going forward with AEW non-sanctioned matches. Chris Jericho successfully defended his AEW world title against Cody Rhodes in a stipulation that if Cody lost, he would never challenge for the world title again, in which he held up from then to the time he left AEW in early 2022. And after this match, if you remember correctly, MJF threw in the towel for Cody Rhodes in this match. MJF low-blowed Cody and turned full heel on Cody after this match. Santana and Ortiz, Proud and Powerful, defeated the Young Bucks in their first AEW pay-per-view match because they made their debut at All Out in 2019. And SCU defeated the Lucha Bros and Private Party to successfully defend their tag team titles. That was Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian. Number 22, World's End last year, 2025. Took place on December 27, 2025, in the arena in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. MJF became the new world champion in that event, defeating Samoa Joe, Hangman Adam Page, and Swerve Strickland, which we saw Swerve return the previous month at Full Gear, which I forgot to mention earlier when I went over that after Samoa Joe defeated Hangman in the steel cage match. We saw Swerve return, so a lot of people thought Swerve was going to win this match, but when MJF came back and cashed in a contract, I thought MJF would get Triple B back, and that's what happened. John Moxley defeated Okada to win the Continental Championship, which he still holds to this day. But first off, he defeated Kyle Fletcher, and Okada defeated Takeshita. Two very good matches there. And the Babes of Wrath defeated Mercedes, Moné, and Athena to become the inaugural AEW Women's Tag Team Champions. Number 21, throwing it back to the first Forbidden Door, which took place in 22. June 26, 22, from the United Center, Chicago, Illinois. This was supposed to be CM Punk versus Hiroshi Tanahashi, but like I said, CM Punk got injured in the first Dynamite after Double or Nothing, which they were starting to build for Forbidden Door. So John Moxley ended up feeding Tanahashi to become the interim AEW World Champion. Will Ospreay defeated Orange Cassidy in a very fun match. This is when Ospreay was still part of the New Japan roster. And Jay White successfully defended his IWGP title over Okada, Hangman, and Adam Cole, in which, unfortunately, Adam Cole would suffer a pretty bad concussion in that match, which started a whole chain of injuries going forward from him that, unfortunately, he's still trying to recover from today. Number 20, also a Forbidden Door. The following year in 2023, June 25th, 2023, from the Scotiabank Arena, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. The main event was a dream match. Bryan Danielson defeating Kazuchika Okada despite Danielson breaking his arm 10 minutes into the match. Will Ospreay defended Kenny Omega in an unbelievable match, making that one match apiece for those guys in their career series against each other. And those are the two matches I had down on my notes, and those two alone were good enough to make it number 20 on my list. Number 19, another Forbidden Door. So three Forbidden Doors in a row. This was last year's that took place on August 24th, 2025 from the O2 Arena in London, England. The main event was a lights out steel cage match, which saw Will Ospreay, Hiroshi Tanahashi in his last appearance in AEW, Darby Allin and the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi before Ibushi broke his leg, defeating Gabe Kidd and the Death Riders, John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson. Of course, Marina Shafir and Wheeler Yuta were there ringside as well. Then after the match, the Death Riders would attack Will Ospreay, hurting his neck and putting him on the shelf until we saw his return at Revolution early this year. Hangman went over MJF in the world title bout there, successfully defending his world title, I should say, against MJF after winning at All In Texas. Tony Storm defeated Athena, and Okada went over Swerve in the unified title match, which was a lot of fun. And Bardito defeated the Hurt Syndicate and FTR in a triple threat to win the world tag titles, and I remember a very clunky finish of a match. Number 18, AEW Revolution 2023 took place on March 5th, 2023 from the Chase Center in San Francisco, California. MJF defeated Bryan Danielson 4-3 in a 60-man 60-minute Iron Man match. One of the classic matches in AEW history to date. He ended up hitting Danielson with the oxygen tank when he's outside the ring. Wardlow defeated Samoa Joe in TNT title match. Hangman defeated John Moxley in a Texas death match. House of Black defeated the Elite to win the Trios titles. And Jack Perry defended Christian Cage in a final burial match, AEW's version of a buried alive match. Number 17 is All Out 2023, which took place on September 3rd, 2023, from the United Center, Chicago, Illinois. I remember this was the least pay-per-view I'd probably have looked forward to in AEW history going into it, just because it was coming on the heels of the CM Punk firing from All In London. Came on out of that high from All In London, and all the drama it kind of took away from the build, which was supposed to be Ricky Starks versus CM Punk in a strap match. And instead it ended up being Bryan Danielson against Ricky Starks in a strap match, which was, I think, Ricky Starks' best match in AEW, even though Danielson beat him. The main event saw John Moxley defeat Orange Cassidy to win the international title. Just thought it was, you know, there was no world title. I don't believe defended. I'm trying to think who would have been the champ. Was MJF? Yeah, I don't think he was on this card. Bull Club Gold defeated FTR and the Bucks in a very fun match. And Takeshita went over Kenny Omega in a really fun match there. So I thought this was just one of those that the talent went all out, no pun intended, to prove everybody a point. And it over-delivered. Pay-per-view over-delivered. Number 16, also All Out, this time in 2024, September 7th, 2024, in the Now Arena, Hoffman Estates, Illinois. The main event saw Hangman defeat Swerve in a lights out cage match, which Swerve got a syringe put in his mouth by Hangman, and Hangman hit Swerve over the head with a chair. So Hangman going a really dark place to beat Swerve that night. Danielson successfully defended his world title against Jack Perry, and Will Ospreay defeated Pac in the international title match. Number 15, Revolution 2022, March 6th, 2022, from the Edition Financial Arena in Orlando, Florida. The main event saw Hangman Adam Page successfully defend his AEW world title against Adam Cole, baby. The match of the night, though, for me was CM Punk defeating MJF in a dog collar match, with the help of Wardlow sliding CM Punk the Dynamite Diamond Ring. Classic match. AEW even made a blood and guts two-pack of figures for Punk and MJF. Punk bled like a dog. Once again, no pun intended. MJF didn't bleed too much, if I remember correctly. And I was really looking forward to those two picking it back up in 2023 when MJF returned. Or no, excuse me, later in 2022 when MJF returned. And but, you know, brawl out happened, and there you go. John Moxley defeated Bryan Danielson in a really fun match. I saw William Regal make his debut in AEW and would lead to the formation of the Blackpool Combat Club. And Wardlow won the Face of the Revolution ladder match, which really helped his ascension going forward in the company that year with a push. Number 14, the first All-In under the AEW banner, the AEW umbrella, if you will, AEW All-In London, took place August 27, 2023 from Wembley Stadium, still AEW's biggest gate to date. Main event saw MJF successfully defend his AEW world title against Adam Cole, baby, his buddy, his partner at the time, tag team partner. The show opened on the main card, with CM Punk defeating Samoa Joe, and which would be CM Punk's last match in AEW. Of course, on the pre-show, you got Jack Perry defeating Hook and did the That's Real Glass, Cry Me a River bit. And then CM Punk and Jack Perry got in a fight backstage, which we'd all see the footage later on, aired out on Dynamite, and CM Punk got fired over it. So FTR defeated the Bucks in a tag team title match. Another dream match there. Sting and Darby Allin defeated Christian Cage and Swerve Strickland in a coffin match, which was real fun. And Will Ospreay defeated Chris Jericho in a really fun match. Number 13, Double or Nothing 2021, the first event coming out of the pandemic era with in the Daily's Place era with fans. This did take place at Daily's Place on May 30th, 2021. The crowd was so hyped for this, being back together watching AEW. The main event saw the Inner Circle defeat the Pinnacle in a stadium stampede match, which was a lot of fun. They went all around the arena and everything, then came into the viewing area of the arena. Kenny Omega defeated Orange Cassidy and Pac to successfully defend his AEW World title. Darby and Sting defeated Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky in a really fun match. That was a live match of Sting, not a cinematic match. Britt Baker defeated Akira Shida to win the AEW World title. Cody defeated Anthony Ogogo in just a train wreck of a match and a build and a rivalry and a feud that should have never been. And the Young Bucks went over John Moxley and Eddie Kingston. Remember when Eddie and Mox were babyface tag team partners to successfully defend their world tag team titles. Number 12, Double or Nothing 2019, the inaugural event that kicked things off for AEW. Yeah, this one just missed out on the top 10 for me for years. It was locked into the top 10, but a few other good events have happened since and made it fall outside the top 10, but it's close. It happened on May 25th, 2019 for the MGM Grand Garden Arena, Paradise, Nevada. We saw a lot of good action. Of course, you got in the main event, Jericho defeating Kenny Omega to solidify himself in the AEW World title picture for the main event for All Out, which he would go against Hangman Adam Page. And we saw Cody over Dustin in a very, very bloody match. And I don't know. It's up there, probably top three match for me, personal favorite of mine in the history of AEW. And the Young Bucks defeat the Lucha Bros in a very fun match there, and really got me pumped because I didn't know much about the Lucha Bros. When I started watching AEW in 2019, this introduced me to Penta and Rey Fénix very quickly, and I was a big fan. Number 11, AEW Revolution 2025, March 9th, 2025, from Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. Only reason this didn't make the top 10 for me was the main event was a blunder, in my opinion. John Moxley successfully defended his AEW World title against Adam Copeland, which also saw Christian Cage try to cash in and did not do so successfully. Then after the match, Swerve attacked Moxley, setting up a feud for that following month's pay-per-view at AEW Dynasty. Other than that, I thought this card was great. We saw Hangman defeat MJF in a fun match. It was the opener, if I believe. Tony Storm defeated Mariah May in the Hollywood ending, which that's what should have main evented. It was perfect. It wrote itself. Ended up being Mariah May's last match in AEW. They could go back in time. Maybe they end the show with that. Kenny Omega defeated Takeshita in the match to win the International Championship. And Will Ospreay defeated Kyle Fletcher in a very fun steel cage match. Number 10, kicking it back to 2021, AEW Full Gear 2021. Happened on November 13th, 2021 from the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The main event was a finale of a great story, a year-long plus story told of Hangman finally overcoming the doubters and all the odds and winning the AEW World title from Kenny Omega. You had the Dark Order there celebrating with Hangman. Just a real, real fun story there. MJF went over Darby Allin in a match that, you know, they're going against each other this weekend at Double or Nothing, so their rivalry continues 5 years later. The Lucha Bros went over FTR, very fun match. Cody and Pac went over Andrade and Malakai Black in a tag match. Yeah, that's where Cody's character had gone by November 2021 in his AEW run. Just very odd. And CM Punk defeated Eddie Kingston in a very personal feud. Number 9, AEW Dynasty from this year, 2026, just took place last month, April 12th, 2026, from Rogers Arena in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Main event was a real fun one, saw MJF successfully defend his world title against Kenny Omega, and we all know he would lose it days later on Dynamite against Darby Allin. John Moxley defeated Will Ospreay to successfully defend his Continental Championship, which started this kind of alliance, if you will, with Will Ospreay and the Death Riders. Kevin Knight won the 10-man casino gauntlet to win the TNT title, which he still holds to this day. FTR successfully defended their tag team titles in a surprise to many over Cope and Cage. FTR wore the Boston Celtics green-inspired gear, which in the home of the LA Lakers at Crypto.com Arena, a lot of people thought there was no way they were winning. Yeah, but that match kicked off the night, opened up the night, and was just a show-stealing match. The Bucks defeated Takeshita and Okada in another great tag team match. And Darby defeated Andrade to become the number one contender, in which, like I mentioned earlier, he would go on and cash that in and beat MJF at Dynamite that following week. Number eight on my list, also one of the Dynasty events, kicking back to 2024, the inaugural Dynasty event, April 21st, 2024, from the Schaffs Arena in St. Louis, Missouri. Saw Swerve defeat Samoa Joe in the main event to win the AEW World title. Also saw a fun tag team match between the Bucks defeating FTR. Will Ospreay defeated Bryan Danielson in the best match, wrestling match I've ever seen in my life. Might be my favorite match. That match had me on the edge of my seat, unlike any match I've ever seen before. It was just outstanding. And Okada defeated Pac in a really fun opener that got the show off on the right foot right away. Number seven, AEW All In 2024. August 25th, 2024, from Wembley Stadium in London, England. The main event saw Bryan Danielson win the AEW World title over Swerve Strickland. What a moment that was with his family there at ringside. Jack Perry defeated Darby in a coffin match to successfully defend his TNT title. And we saw Mercedes defeat Britt Baker, in which we haven't seen Britt really on TV since then, or often since then, I should say. Will Ospreay defeated MJF to win the American / International title. And the Young Bucks defeated FTR and the Acclaimed in a tag team title match. Number six, Double or Nothing from last year, 2025, May 25th, 2025, from the Desert Diamond Arena in Glendale, Arizona. Heyman defeated Will Ospreay in the main event to win the men's Owen Hart tournament and become the number one contender for the world title at All In Texas. Aside from that, we got Kenny Omega, Swerve Strickland, Will Nightingale, and the Ops, Samoa Joe, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Shibata, with Prince Nana also there, defeating the Death Riders, John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Marina Shafir, and Wheeler Yuta, and the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. Let the bodies hit the floor. That was the song that was playing. Wonder what the song that will be playing over the, assuming they do a song outside at Louis Armstrong Stadium, wonder what song they'll be playing this year. Number five, AEW Revolution 2024, which took place March 3rd, 2024, from the Greensboro Coliseum in Greensboro, North Carolina. Main event was Sting's last match, his retirement match, in which he and Darby successfully defended their tag team titles against the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson. What a match from the Sting's entrance with his boys, both portraying, one portraying surfer style Sting with Patriot looking face paint and gear, the other one the NWO Wolfpack Sting, to Darby doing the spot off the ladder through the glass, still finishing the match. You couldn't write a better send-off to a legendary career as AEW did with Sting. Also saw Samoa Joe successfully defend his world title against Swerve and Hangman, because Swerve and Hangman hate each other so much they were just focused on not letting the other one win the world title. Therefore, Swerve successfully defended it. Ospreay defeated Takeshita in his first match as a full-time member of the AEW roster. That was a banger of a match. Eddie Kingston defeated Bryan Danielson in a match that had the Continental Championship on the line, as well as the ROH title and the New Japan Strong Openweight title. Danielson had to shake Eddie's hand in defeat. Number four, All In last year, 2025, All In Texas, which took place on July 12th, 2025 from Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. Hangman overcame the odds, finally took down Moxley and the Death Riders with some help from a returning Darby Allin, who had just scaled Mount Everest, and Bryan Danielson under a mask, and many others, Swerve, Ospreay getting involved, others that the Death Riders had wronged in their year-long reign up to that point. Speaking of Swerve and Ospreay, we saw them beat the Young Bucks, and which was my match of the year in 2025. Toni Storm defeated Mercedes Moné to successfully defend her world title. Okada defeated Kenny to win the Unified title. And Dustin Rhodes won the TNT title over Kyle Fletcher, Sammy Guevara, and Daniel Garcia in a four-way match. It was supposed to be Adam Cole in the match, but he was not cleared. He was defending the world. He was supposed to defend the TNT title as he was the reigning champion. He came out and was ready, they said, to retire, but he didn't officially retire, but that's the last time. I think the last time we've seen Adam Cole in a ring, if I'm not mistaken, maybe one other time, but he has not participated in a match since before last year's All In. Takes us to the top three AEW pay-per-views of all time, in my opinion. Number three is from this year. Yes, that's how highly I thought of this year's Revolution pay-per-view, which took place on March 15th, 2026 from the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. Saw MJF successfully defend his AEW world title against Hangman Adam Page in a last chance Texas death match. Now going forward, Hangman can never challenge for the AEW title once again. Whether they stick to that stipulation or not, it'll be interesting because this is the world of professional wrestling we are talking about. Andrade defeated Bandido in a really fun match. John Moxley defeated Takeshita. And successfully defeated Takeshita, I should say, for his Continental Championship in a no time limit match, which is different from a normal Continental Championship match. And FTR went over the Young Bucks. This was the match. I misspoke earlier. This was the match they wore Boston Celtics green in because the Young Bucks were wearing LA Lakers purple and gold in Crypto.com Arena where the Lakers play. So I misspoke earlier when FTR defeated Cope and Christian at Dynasty. That was just FTR defeating Cope and Christian in their backyard. That's what I meant to say. Number two, taking it back to 2020, but this was not the pandemic era because it was right before the pandemic started. AEW Revolution 2020, which took place on February 29th, leap year that year, 2020, from the Wintrust Arena, Chicago, Illinois. The main event saw John Moxley defeat Chris Jericho to win the AEW world title, become the second world title holder in AEW. I remember I bought the shirt that night that had Mox spray painted on the title. MJF went over Cody in their match that started back in their feud started back when MJF turned on Cody in full gear after he threw in the towel and his loss against Chris Jericho. Hangman and Kenny went over the Bucks, successfully defending their AEW World Tag Team titles, in which they defeated SCU on the Dynamite edition of the Chris Jericho Cruise. That's still the best tag match I've ever seen. My favorite tag match AEW's put on. Pac went over Orange Cassidy in his AEW debut as far as an in-ring match. And Orange Cassidy shocked the crowd, but Pac went over. And Darby went over Sammy Guevara. We just saw those two battle this past weekend on Collision. Those two went at it on Revolution in a very fun match in which Darby got the better of Sammy Guevara. In the number one AEW pay-per-view, in my opinion, they've done up to this date, AEW All Out 2021, which took place on September 5th, 2021, for the Now Arena in the Hoffman States, Illinois. The main event saw Kenny Omega successfully defend his AEW world title against Christian Cage, but it's what happened after the match that got everybody talking. The AEW debuts of both Adam Cole and then followed by Bryan Danielson. Such a fun way to do the debuts. Raucous crowd. I mean, elsewhere on the card, you got the Lucha Bros over the Young Bucks in a steel cage match to win the AEW tag titles. Hell of a match there. If I remember right, Penta's mask got partially ripped. Jericho defeated MJF And CM Punk defeated Darby Allin in his first match in over 7 years, in his first match in AEW, to show everybody that, yes, he could still go. And I remember after all that, coming out of that event that night thinking, man, AEW is going to be right on WWE's heels. And it felt like that coming. And I think, and don't get me wrong, I think AEW is in a great spot right now in the middle of May 2026 as we're speaking right now. But it still hasn't reached that high. I think right there at the end of 2021, middle to the end of 2021, that last quarter was a high for AEW. But like I said at the very beginning of this video, one thing you can say for sure for AEW pay-per-views is more times than not, they deliver. So once again, let me know in the comments where you would rank all of the AEW pay-per-views. And until next time, when I kick out yet another video, I'm Tanner Lee. Have a good one, everybody.
This is where I say goodbye and good night.